Welcome to Solo Travel Adventures, my sisters. Don't let fear hold you back from traveling alone. I want you to gather your courage, listen to inspiring stories, and learn how to travel solo while safely navigating new places from this show. I'm Cheryl Esch, solo travel advocate and travel coach, and I want you to have a transformative experience when you travel solo. So pack your bags, book your flight, and check one more time for that passport. It's time to explore the world. Is it okay to go on a cruise alone? And is solo cruising right for you personally? Do you know what to expect on a cruise if you do go by yourself? Well, I have a special guest today who is going to talk exclusively about cruises. I have special guest Alyssa Johnson. She is a cruise expert and travel advisor who specializes in solo travel. Her goal is to help women comfortably and confidently travel the world solo so they no longer feel like they have to wait for anybody else, right? So listen in today. She's going to give us lots of tips and lots of advice and give us a picture of what it is like as a solo traveler to go on a cruise. So listen in.
Well, hi, Alyssa. Welcome to Solo Travel Adventures. So thank you so much for being on the show today. I'm so excited to have someone here that is a cruise expert, because that is an area where I know lots of my listeners are, dying to get to go on a cruise, and I don't have as much knowledge on that area. And so I'm so glad you're here today. But before we get into all of the cruise details, can you share with my audience what got you into travel and what is your why for travel? What's your passion?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Cheryl, for having me. I'm excited to be here, and I could talk about cruising all day. For me, travel was a very nearly crossed the pandemic for me. I was taking my first solo trip in March of 2020. Ooh. In England. Literally got back to the United States 4 days before the borders closed. So I had long time to reflect on that trip. And I was ready for another one by the time 2021 rolled around the summer. And so I booked a river cruise, which ended up getting canceled. Okay. So I had a big old credit to use by the time 2022 came. Mm-hmm. And so I booked an ocean cruise with that same cruise line. And it was like the world, just everything got lined up perfectly to sort of usher me into this business. I heard somebody talk about being a travel agent on that cruise. That same cruise, I spoke to one of the performers who had just graduated this prestigious performing arts school, was in his early 20s, and was now getting paid to travel the world. And so those two things came together, and I thought, there's something to this. I've been shown the right thing here, that I can help people travel. I have a long background in corporate administrative assisting. So I've been booking travel in the corporate world for almost 20 years now. And so I thought I could put these skills to use and help other people get out and travel.
Right. Oh, that's awesome. Your background too, like how it all comes back around. It circles back around.
It does. I love that.
Yes. Well, awesome. I know a lot of us were feeling the same way during the pandemic and wanting to get out. And I also know a lot of people had cruise credits. I actually have a best friend that just went because they had to use theirs by this year. Like, those credits were expiring and stuff like that. So I know that cruising right now and travel in general is just exploding this summer. So, but tell me, why cruises for travel versus something else?
Cruises for me, and it's interesting, I took a cruise way long ago before I became a travel advisor, and I didn't like it. I picked the wrong cruise. I didn't know what I was doing. I did it based on price, and I thought, I'm never going to do this again. And now here I am as a cruise expert. But for me, what I enjoy about it is you wake up in a new destination every day, particularly with ocean cruises. You unpack once. It's like you're in a hotel room that visits all these different countries in one day, and you get to see the world without having to like unpack and repack and think about transport. And you sort of get a taste for a bunch of different cruises. And then if you like a destination, you can always go back later. But it's like a really good way to kind of sample different destinations in different countries. That's the way that I've found my favorite places to go, is through cruising and just getting sort of a day in port, and kind of you get the vibe of the country. I think it's a fantastic way to see the world.
And just interject, what is your favorite place that you visited so far through cruising?
Well, my favorite place ever is London, but my favorite place through cruising is Aruba.
Aruba. Okay. Yeah. It's a popular place for
beautiful
cruise stops. Yes. Anything, I think, along the Caribbean there. Why would you suggest cruises for solo women? I mean, we're talking to solo women travelers here. You know, why is it a good thing for them to do?
You know, cruises are a way to sort of build in a safety net for a solo traveler. You're not completely on your own. You can be if you want to. If you want to go get off the ship and go on an excursion by yourself, you can totally do that. And I do that all the time. But if you're not quite there yet, you can book an excursion through the cruise ship. You will meet so many people on cruises. I just had this conversation the other day with somebody, with a fellow cruiser. There's nothing like cruise friends. There's these time-bound friendships that you just meet people on the ship, and you will, no matter how sold out the ship is, you will always see the same dozen or so people around the ship. It's amazing. And you'll just make these like small friendships. You'll run into each other. You'll see each other on excursions. So you'll meet new people and you're never really alone. You can hang out on your balcony or in your cabin if you want to, but there's always people around on a cruise ship, and people on cruises are so friendly. I've never found that in any other means of travel that I've done. People throwing out compliments. The elevator is actually a really great place to meet people. And you know, there's just like fun experiences that you have with other people. And it's a great way for solo travelers to sort of feel included.
Yeah. Yes. And like you said, not feel alone, right? Because I think that's, you know, some people hesitate. They're scared to do this by themselves. And I think, like you said, the nice thing about cruises is it's all taken care of for you, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. And then I think wouldn't they assign you like a dinner table that you always, you know, you'll be dining probably with the same people every time? So
you can. That's a traditional cruise line way of operating. You can totally do that. A lot of cruises now are moving more towards come and show up whenever you want. Some cruise lines have both. You can choose to do this, the dining time if you want to, or you can come at different times whenever you want. So it's a good mix, and that's the other good thing is you can choose what suits your style of travel the best.
Yeah. Okay. So you're not like set and like, oh, you got to eat at 5 o'clock every day.
Correct.
Right. Yeah. That's nice. Yeah. So depending on your mood. So what are some tips? Now I know that, for single solo travelers, their biggest complaint about cruising is that single supplement. What do you recommend? You know, is there a way to even avoid that? You know, what do you recommend for them to, you know?
Yes, that's a biggie. And for listeners who may not know what a single supplement is, it is cruise lines base their cabin prices on an occupancy of two people per cabin. So if you're a single traveler or a solo traveler, you'll have to pay double. So the single supplement is any portion over, you know, what half of that price for two would be. The nice thing is cruise lines are starting to recognize that there's a lot of us solo travelers out there who really want to take advantage of cruising, and they're starting to build single cabins into their ships. So lines like Virgin Voyages, Norwegian Cruise Line was really the first line to pioneer these solo cabins. Celebrity Cruises is starting to build balcony cabins for solo travelers, and they're about half of what that full, you know, cabin price would be for double. So there are ways around it. And sometimes you can get last minute deals. If a ship is on the emptier side, they'll run single supplement sales as well.
Okay. So that kind of answers my next question about like, are there specific cruise lines that you think are better for solo travelers? So you mentioned Virgin.
Virgin is great for single travelers. They have specific meetups for solo travelers.
Oh, nice.
A lot of cruise lines will do that, but I've noticed a difference on Virgin when I sail them. They really make an effort to make you feel welcome and a part of the group, and they'll make sure you meet the first night so you meet the other solo travelers on board. Places like Norwegian with their solo cabins, they have access to a solo studio lounge. So it's key card access only for solo travelers. And it's just this inside gathering area where you and whoever else is booked only in those solo cabins can have a continental breakfast, watch something on TV, just hang around and chat and meet people. So those are the two I think do solo cruising really well.
Okay. I'll make sure I put those in the notes because that's good to know. Even for myself, because I've been hesitant about going, mainly because I would go as a solo traveler. And, you know, a lot of obviously Disney cruises are geared for family, so I'm not going to go on a Disney cruise, right? No. But I, you know, you see a lot of couples, you know, going on cruises or even families again. But I didn't want to be like the outsider, you know. What came to my mind, I don't know if they still do it. Maybe you can attest to this, but I remember, oh gosh, I don't even remember when it was. I'm pretty old. So they used to do these like singles only cruise ships, like it would just be all singles. And it was a big singles party. Now, these were like younger singles, probably, you know, 20s and 30s, maybe. Sure. But I don't, do they do anything like that? Now, you did mention those nice perks that Norwegian and Virgin do for solo travelers. Do they actually have a full cruise line that would just be, you know, hey, this is just a solo trip only for all solo travelers? Do you know of any?
They're a lot more rare than they used to be. If they do exist, it would be something that an agency would charter the entire ship for and not be like a general sale cruise.
Okay.
But there are people like myself included, I will do cruises for solo travelers, but it's not the whole ship. So the whole ship wouldn't be solo travelers.
Okay. But you'd be able to book somebody that you, like you said, you recommend those places that you know there's going to be other solo travelers. Yeah. So they're not going to be alone. That's awesome.
Definitely. Yeah.
Very good. What are some maybe unknown or lesser known cruise tours that you would recommend, you know, out maybe outside the US, you know, are there?
Yeah. Most people, when they think of cruises, they'll think of the Caribbean or perhaps Alaska and the Mediterranean as well.
Right.
I love selling outside the beaten track cruises. So there's a lot of great cruises down in South America, off of Argentina and Chile. And there's great cruises off of South Africa. So Mauritius, South Africa, they usually ground port from Cape Town, Reunion, Madagascar. Those types of places are not typically places that people think of cruising. Yeah. There's great cruises out of Hawaii that just go inter-island that I don't think people think of. And Antarctica cruises are always an interesting thing. When it's Antarctica cruise season, everyone's posts pop up on social media. Those are certainly something to think about and save up for.
Yeah.
South Africa and South America are certainly ones that people don't typically think of.
Okay. Yeah. No, I hadn't even realized South Africa would have something like that. That's something to think about. Cause you know, you, like you said, the better known ones, the well, I like to get off the beaten track myself. Yeah. So, you know, something different might entice me or some of my listeners more so than, you know, the Caribbean, or if they're not in the US, I do have listeners that are outside the US. So, you know, finding those other little places they can do cruises, right?
Yeah, definitely. And there's some great cruises around Japan now that Asia is mostly opening up. They were closed a lot longer than a lot of the other parts of the world were. There's some great cruises around Japan and other parts in Asia as well.
Okay, awesome. So people pack for cruises. What would you say is something they'd often forget?
That is a great question. And I have a personal story to answer that.
Okay. Yeah, I love it.
So I was on a cruise last year and I was getting ready to leave the hotel to board the cruise ship, and I broke a tooth. And so luckily for me, because I am who I am, I was prepared. And so the thing that people don't think about is there's no dentist on board a cruise ship. So if you lose a crown or you break a tooth like I did or something, other dental emergency happens, there's nothing there to help you. So I knew better. So I brought Ambisol or some other gum, you know, numbing gel and a dental repair kit, one of those little just tubs of cement that you can pack a filling or pack a cracked tooth with. Yeah, and that's what I did. And it worked well. And I went to my dentist when I got back and he said, he's like, did you do that yourself? And I said, yes.
I would always
recommend packing some sort of dental healthcare kit, especially if you're on a longer cruise or you're going to be cruising in an area that is less known for their dental standards. Definitely pack some sort of cement. And they're very small tubes. They're not going to take up very much room in your luggage.
I would not even have thought about that, but you know, that probably be something that I might need too, you know,
definitely. And along those lines, like a basic first aid kit as well. Yeah. Okay. Not all ships will even have a shop. And if they do, the products are pretty expensive. So yeah, just something with like travel sizes of, you know, a pain reliever, cold medicine, you know, Pepto-Bismol or something similar like that. Just little things that you might need and will probably cost you $20 if you go to the ship's medical center to get.
Good point. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I always pack that kind of stuff, but it's a good reminder. Yeah. To have that. Cause you're right. I mean, especially pain medicine, you know, you go to buy a 2-pack and it's, you know, $10 for like,
yes, medical center visits are not cheap on a cruise ship.
Yeah. So that's good. Very good advice. Yes. What is the best time to take a cruise? I guess speak first for the US, I suppose, or like the Caribbean areas. And then if you know like better times, for example, maybe for that, like South Africa, when would be the best time to do that one? You know, kind of.
Yeah, I'm sure. That's a great question. And that was going to be my answer to, as you were speaking, was it depends on where you're going.
Yeah.
So the Caribbean is popular all year round and there will always be cruises out of the Caribbean. Most people go and high season is winter and early spring. So January through about mid-May or so. Alaska, if you're going to Alaska, that's about early May through mid-September.
Okay.
Mediterranean is sort of the opposite. That's summer months. So May, June, July, August are super popular with Mediterranean cruises. I've taken one in October and it was fantastic in the Mediterranean. Mm-hmm. And then you can sort of just base the other areas of the world off of when their summer months are. So the Antarctica is popular in February once things sort of start melting down there a little bit.
Yay, okay.
And the same with South America. That's going to be more of a
the opposite,
late winter. Yeah.
Yeah. Opposite of the Northern Hemisphere, Southern Hemisphere kind of idea. Yeah. What about Japan? Do you know when that one might be the best time to go in Japan?
That one is around spring. I think they sort of time it around the cherry blossom.
Oh, yeah.
Festival, but that's generally when the weather is nicest anyway.
Yeah.
There as well.
But when isn't there a cheaper time to cruise in the US?
Yes. So if you go what's called shoulder season. So shoulder season is either before or after the popular season. And again, it depends on when you're going. So if it's in Alaska, the early May or the late September ones will be the cheapest. Okay. And Caribbean. The problem with the Caribbean going off season is you run into hurricane possibilities. So though it may be cheaper, you might be in for some rough seas. So you have to sort of weigh the pros and cons. Is the money you save worth the possibility of being ill the entire time you're on the ship?
Right. Oh, gosh. Yes. I had heard that particularly in, I guess, like taking maybe a Caribbean cruise or especially out of Galveston. I'm in Texas, so Galveston is very close. That like February was like the cheapest time to go. There's like this window. Oh, is that true?
honestly, it largely depends on the cruise line. Different cruise lines price differently. Okay. Some cruise lines will price, it doesn't matter the time. It'll depend on the capacity of the ship and how much it's booked. So you could end up booking, you know, something in February, but it's really pricey because the ship's almost sold out. So it depends, yes, on the season some, but mostly on capacity of how full the ship is.
Okay. I was not aware of that. So if the ship is, obviously there's more demand, like they say, more demand, it's going to be higher price. Okay.
Correct.
Yeah.
So it's always best to book either very, very, very last minute, like within weeks, or right when the cruise is announced. That's usually when prices will be the lowest.
Okay. All right. Yeah, that's a good advice too, because you think about, because there's certain windows when you should book airline, you know, like could you get, so cruises, you're saying either last minute.
Or way in advance.
Way in advance.
Yeah.
Got it. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, because you see the deals that come across, or particularly if you're on a cruise, they're going to try to book you for your next cruise, usually.
Yes. Yeah. And you can sometimes get bonuses or like onboard credit on both. You can sometimes, some cruise lines will give you onboard credit on the cruise you're currently on, a discount for the next one, and an onboard credit for that one. So sometimes you can triple it up.
Oh, wow. Okay. What other little money-saving cruise tips do you have for us?
That's one of the best ones. Some cruise lines will have, Norwegian in particular, they have what's called a cruise first certificate where you can purchase it and you don't have to be on a cruise and you'll get double what you paid for. It really does pay to be on cruise lines email newsletters because that's where they'll announce sales. And then price tracking. So something you can do if you book a cruise is to check the price every so often after you book it up until final payment, which is usually about 120 days. That's the day at which you have to have your cruise paid in full.
Okay.
At any time up until that point, you can cancel and rebook that cruise if you find a cheaper price with no penalty. So price watching is another hack that not a lot of people think of because it can be time consuming. But if you really want to save money, you can try and employ that tactic.
Okay. So let's say, for example, I book a cruise on Norwegian and I just have to go on Norwegian's website and just keep watching that particular cruise or just cruises in general, like, oh, I'm going to the Caribbean, let's say. And just see
it'll be that you want to look at that particular one.
That particular cruise. Yeah. Okay. And see if I can get it any cheaper. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Ah. That's like I do with my airlines, you know?
Right.
Yeah,
exactly. It's sort of the same thing.
Okay. All right. See, I didn't know that was possible with cruises.
Yeah. Right up until you get to that final payment date, which is, like I said, about 120 days after that, you'll be charged a penalty. So anytime up until then you're free to cancel and get a refund as many times as you want.
Okay. Now, how do you help people find the best cruises for them?
So as a travel advisor, I am certified and have taken tons of training courses, seminars at sea on pretty much all the major cruise lines out there. So I have an instant idea the second someone tells me what they're looking for, what the best fit is. So when you work with me in particular, I have a form that you fill out that tells me what you want and what you're looking for. Because what I found is sometimes people will come to me and they'll say, I want this particular ship, I want this itinerary, and that's it. And then we talk a little more and they want something totally different than what they think they want. They just don't know. Yeah. So I ask questions like, what was your last cruise like? What was your favorite part of your last cruise? Have you cruised before? Tell me about, you know, typical hotel accommodations that you usually stay in. What's been your favorite country? And those answers will give me clues as to what they're actually looking for in their vacation versus what they might think that they want.
Yeah, that's good. It's true. I mean, I'd come to you because I don't know. I have to tell you what I want because I don't know enough about the cruise lines and what they offer to know. So obviously coming to someone like you, an expert or advisor, you're going to know what each cruise has to offer and kind of where that person's personality or their desires fit, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And the cruise lines are very, very different. And even within the same budget line, they're very, very different. You step on the ship and there's totally different vibe from, you know, Norwegian to Virgin, especially is very different to Celebrity. They're all very different.
Okay. Awesome. Well, before I get to where you can tell people where to find you, can you share with me any kind of funny story that you've had on a cruise or someone you know has had on a cruise?
Yeah. A funny story, I guess it's kind of funny. So on Norwegian, some of the ships have what's called a cavern club, which is a recreation of where the Beatles were discovered in Liverpool. And they have a Beatles cover band. And there's one set of those Beatles, I guess, impersonators.
Yeah.
in particular, that I met on one of my first Norwegian cruises. And we've kept in touch the whole time. And we were just on the same cruise back in February. And it's just funny when you start cruising a lot, you start to know the entertainers and you meet them and you can kind of follow them around the ships. And they're very interesting. If you follow some of them on Instagram, you can kind of live vicariously through these entertainers while you're stuck back, not on a cruise. They're just living their best life out on the ship. And then, you know, if they happen to be, I live in Seattle, if they happen to be working an Alaska cruise, you know, you can meet up with coffee or lunch or something like that. So you kind of get to meet and know the same people, in particular, if you cruise the same cruise line, which is kind of nice because you know somebody already.
Oh, okay. That's so cool.
Yeah.
That's such an interesting life. I mean, I don't know. Could you imagine? I mean, you love cruises. So maybe you could imagine actually performing or being on a cruise line to work, right?
I think I could do it not working as long as I could like take a little break. I don't know if I could do it for months at a time because their cruise contracts go for 6 months sometimes. So I don't know if I could go 6 months without not living on a ship, but I would love to take a lot of back-to-back cruises together.
I just saw on Travel and Leisure, speaking of back-to-back cruises, I don't have it in front of me, but it's leaving November of this year. it's a 3-year cruise.
Yeah. And they had some issues with the ship.
Oh, they are?
Yeah. So they discovered that the first ship they had earmarked for it was unseaworthy. So they've had to source another ship for that.
Oh.
But I love the idea of that.
I know.
Just like having a pre-committed, you know, just 3 years and then you know that you're done.
Yeah. I mean, but they're going to see like 100 countries or something like mm-hmm. It was pretty awesome. And they say, you know, looking at the prices, it's like, it can be depending on where you live. Sure. It can be cheaper for that month of cruising, you know, if you, you know, mm-hmm. amortize it out per month for what you might pay for rent and your, you know, utilities and stuff like that. And I was like,
Yeah, there are some people that retire and live on cruise ships. Yeah. I know of one, I can't remember his name, but there's one gentleman in particular who just goes from cruise ship to cruise ship and just stays on there because it's cheaper for him in retirement to live on the ship versus where it would cost wherever he lived.
Well, I was just saying that to somebody that some of those senior assisted living places are much more expensive than, mm-hmm. you know, if you spent a whole month and continued on cruises, right?
Yeah. And you get your food included. So you don't
exactly.
have to buy your food.
And entertainment.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Who wouldn't want that?
I know.
Well, you've gotten me very excited. I've been wanting to do a cruise and now I feel a lot better knowing that there are options for solo travelers that we can, you know, certainly feel included, but also, you know, knowing people around so that we're not feeling alone, you know, in that whole venture, you know, especially if it's like, you know, I always say, if this is your first time doing any kind of solo travel, first of all, start local. But then if you are going to take that leap, like cruising is a great option because of having everything planned out for you. Mm-hmm. You're surrounded by other people, so you're not really alone. But let me have you share with my audience where they can find you, and I'll make sure I put in the notes and if they're interested in a cruise, you know, can they contact you and that kind of stuff?
Yeah, for sure. I love helping cruises. It's one of my favorite things to book. Everyone can find me at fearlessfreedomtravel.com. You can also find a free guide to solo travel there if that's helpful. And you can connect with me on social media. I'm on TikTok and Instagram, both at Fearless Freedom Travel.
Awesome. All right. Well, this has been so enlightening and educating for me. So thank you so much. And I appreciate you being on here and for your time.
Yeah, you're so welcome. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
So let's recap from today's episode, some bullet points. Number one, cruises are a great way to dip your toes into the solo travel world. Number two, you are not necessarily alone on a cruise. You're surrounded by people and there are opportunities to meet people and be included in many of the activities. Number three, everything is planned for you. Your food is provided, everything. Even you can even have your excursions planned for you. And so if planning itinerary for your trip is stressful, then you might want to consider a cruise. That might be your ticket. Number four, there are some cruise lines that are starting to build and offer single room options, even avoiding that single supplement charge. That's great news for us solo travelers, right? So look into what those cruise lines are. Number five, depending on your travel style and needs, there is a cruise line that will fit your needs and personality, but you should consult an advisor like Alyssa. So they can also tell you about any of those off-beaten track cruises that you may not be aware of across the world. So sisters, get out there and let's go ahead and have a new adventure with cruising. If you've never tried a cruise, then maybe this is your opportunity and has gotten you excited like me. But those folks that have already done cruises, they will tell you it is probably the best vacation they've had. So get out there and let's give this cruise idea a shot. Hey, sister travelers, did this podcast inspire and encourage you or move you to get out there and travel? Wonderful. There are three ways you can thank me. First one is leave a written review for the show on Apple Podcast. Two, share the show with your sister travelers, your friends, your family. And three, subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode. And thank you again for listening to the show. Sisters, be fearless, take the leap, and get out there and have an adventure.